this horse fits any of them. And if the horse measures up, there's no reason to think, especially Ron Ellis is one of the highest percentage trainers in Southern California. So he always puts them where they belong. So there's no reason to throw Tyler Dowd out of the race. Oh, yeah. What about Sandrock? Hey, wrestle with this one for a minute, because this is kind of a key. Skip over Sandrock then. Hold on to that one, because it's kind of a key to winning some money in this race. Skip over the next horse and go down to 10 Karat Diamond. We'll work back up to the front. How many of you would make 10 Karat Diamond a contender? Just look at it and get your hands up. All right. How many would not? Pass the microphone around, Spencer, and find out why some people would not make it a contender. Now we're hands up. Now, is anybody willing to state that? Because I'm not necessarily going to disagree. I just would be curious as to the rationale. That's all.
I look at the fractions that horse ran against, 22 and 2 and 46, and it's just one of that's just a maiden race that it's won by them. So I don't like that.
Uh-huh.
The reason that I throw it out.
Keep it moving, Spencer.
Basically the same observation there. Broke its maiden going 46, leading by 4. Now he's facing winners for the first time. Can he do that again?
Okay. Keep moving the microphone, Spencer.
I don't like that he's idle off a win. Step it up.
Keep it moving, Spencer.
And the other, he raced 3 times. He was in the money twice, and he's only running against other horses who also only won one race.
All right.
So he's not any worse off than anybody else.
Wasn't this horse coupled with the other one?
I don't believe so.
Highland Down, they're both Alice horses.
Yeah, but that's not a coupling rule in California, unless this is a 505. No, they were not coupled. See, it's the ownership that couples them in California. That's why Frankel can run 4 horses sometimes in these big races and they're not coupled unless he's got a piece of one of them.
I'm from the other side. Look at this horse's last race, how he opens up. He's got the only early speed, and that turn time move is unbelievable. No, I would definitely have to consider this horse.
Some more comments. No more. There's another one. Get Bert over there in the corner.
I don't know if I'm right or not, but I'd throw him out. He hasn't run for 3 months. It took him 3 races to break his maiden. I think he's moving up in class. 32,000, that seems like it's too high for him.
All right.
Is my opinion.
Okay, no, it's all valid. The opinions are valid on both sides, and there are, first of all, it's not 3 months. This race was run back in October. It's 2. I mean, the issue is still the same. And course knowledge comes somewhat to play here. One of the things is that when the Del Mar meeting ends, you'll have a lot of horses at Oak Tree than have layoffs. And the reason you have them is that the only opportunity without shipping horses out of Southern California is to run at the Fairplex. And if a trainer decides the horse isn't going to handle those turns for whatever reason, that horse is not going to be at Fairplex. And you can't let that stop you ever. So that half the horses you see in the first few weeks of Oak Tree have layoffs. And you have to deal with the horse, and the layoff becomes an unimportant issue. You have a hand up before I go further?
Yeah. You say just
away from the mic.
Where's the person?
Up front, Spencer.
Come on, Spencer, move.
It distracts you, Spencer.
You say this race was run in October?
Yeah.
Well, you got to work down here on Janet's doll on November 1st.
Right, then the race must have been run like November 1st.
What was that comment?
Yeah, my point in that was, unless I go to the results charts, I can't tell you exactly when this race was run. It was run during Oak Tree. It had to be run during the first week probably of November then.
November 3rd.
November 3rd. All right, they're working this just a few days, so for 4 days I'm wrong. But my point over to Bert was that race is not run today, which is mid-November. It was run earlier, sometime earlier to make this issue. But the layoff is the important thing here, and you get half the horses you have at Oak Tree are laid off because they don't go to fair play. That's one issue. Another issue is that I'm not going to make trainer handicappers out of you because I'm not, but you have to understand who's who on your own circuit. And I don't think I have to make a big point with this trainer, because the stats are available to you right here almost at the end of the meeting. Now, this guy does nothing wrong. So the fact that the horse has been laid off and is in this spot with a trainer that wins 30 or 40% of his races has to give you some kind of a push as to whether the horse belongs. Another point that I want to make, and I want to address another one, the horse broke its maiden last time and it's going up in class. Well, of course, they all do on that. If this had been an older horse, facing older horses, they invariably lose. After they break their maiden, they come back at the same level. But with younger horses, three-year-olds and two-year-olds, when they're in a protected class environment like this, they often win. They win as often as they don't win. So treat this horse just based on how it runs and what its figure may be. And don't confuse it with the older, because there's a distinct difference between younger and older horses. I made this horse a contender, and it's key to winning here. Because the horse is getting better. Two races back, it came from off the pace to get to the lead, and then in its next race, it delivered the goods. Now, my point will be here that I would never, ever take a short price on a horse that did just break its maiden, but for maiden 32 it comes back. But this horse is definitely a contender because it can run. And when you consider, if you take a matchup, there were a number of people in favor of making Terra Secret a contender. Terra Secret's current form and 10 carats, current form, there's no contest. Now, if you find somebody in here that's a lot better, that's a different issue. But 10 carat is a contender in these kinds of races. That's where it's going to run next. Baby Let's Dance. Take a look at this horse for a minute. Yes. Spencer? We have a question up in front here. Or a comment.
On Baby Let's Dance and to 10 carat.
Yes.
Do you ever look back to see how they did coming off of a layoff?
Sure.
Okay. Then I would throw this one. Put it in.
All right. You're talking about the Futurity Trial in October of 92?
Yes, and okay. I also take the one on the second race back where it came off of layoff on Baby.
Well, from December what of 92? Can anybody read this copy?
The
race two back, is that June or January?
June,
all right. Yes, that's the other one. Okay, it looked like January without my reading glasses. Okay, he'd make Baby Let's Dance a contender in Europe. What about the rest of you?
You wouldn't really.
Yeah, I chose to stand against this horse, but you can, and of course knowledge, no matter where you play, course knowledge has got to be part of it. Horses coming from New Mexico, unless they're brought to Southern California by a guy by the name of Henry Marino, virtually never win. Virtually never, ever. No matter how good they look. And that's part of playing the races. Marion?
Yep.
Is Marion in the room?
Yeah.
What's your experience with New Mexico horses?
Oh, no. Those
those horses.
Hold on, hold
on. Wait a minute, get married, because he plays Southern California the same as I do.
Those horses, they don't have a prayer in Southern California. You really have to just consider that and just get rid of them. I don't care how good they look. Some of them have pace lines that look like they're speedy. Don't mean a thing. These horses just walk over them down here. I think that if I remember this race correctly, this horse broke very alertly and got stomped. Yeah, he broke very alertly. I remember the race.
And there's another point to be made is that this horse was very highly regarded in New Mexico because, to my knowledge, let me look at this again, everything it ran was in a stakes race of some sort or against male stakes type horses, right?
Well, we're going to get a new copying machine for you, Howard.
Yeah. The horse that beat it last time is a horse called Blushable, who can run. But Blushable is running in very high-class races at Bay Meadows, not in a $32,000 claim. So there's a bit of a negative. It's kind of the same push that you would have against No Social Graces, who I would take in a minute over this horse because of the circuit.
These are better than the ones that you had in your book. You could read these easier than those.
Well, I didn't make those copies. Now, I, the basic issue, and I'm going through it just the same way I did. One of the points that I want to make now is that if you disagree with this, that's fine. There's no saying. I mean, when we measure 100 races, you measure 100, I measure 100, there ain't going to be all that much difference between the numbers of winners you get and the numbers of winners I get. It just works that way. There'll be enough, I hope, to sustain me so I don't have to go back to work. Otherwise, I'm working in a liquor store, right? But on the other hand, I make as many wrong calls as you do, and we're going through this as my handicapping process. And I make as many wrong calls, and I probably make nearly as many really dumb calls. Because I know many times I look at it and say, why in the hell did I make that choice? I mean, it was a stupid thing to do. I do it the same as you do. I hope I'm right more often than most of you, or you'd be up here and I'd be out there. But nevertheless, there are no right answers. But I'm telling you that based on, in Southern California races, based on local knowledge and probabilities, these are the calls that I make. And I would hope that you would make them to a great degree, and we'll disagree sometimes, but that's racing, and you're going to get some winners I'm not going to get, and I'm going to get some you're not. So I'm not trying to tell you that this is absolutely right all the time. But this is my process, and this is what Howard asked for.
I can get you a job as a bartender. You don't have to work in a liquor store.
Well, I was thinking about working in a liquor store because there's one right out next to Santa Anita, so I can run over and make my bets, Howard. Now, for me, the most difficult horse in this race was Sandrock. Now, look at Sandrock and drop back three races to the maiden 32, and that's basically all most of these horses have done. There are some exceptions in this race. But look at the maiden 32 win when it dropped out of straight maidens. That's a strong win. The fractions are 22, 45, 1, 110, and 2. Now, off of that race, she runs where she probably is over her head because they step her into non-winners of 1 instead of, in the case of 10 Karat Diamond, Ron Ellis is realistic. In the case of John O'Hara, in stepping the horse up against allowance horses, he's taking a shot because he has obviously miscalculated the ability of the horse now. But the horse ran all right, didn't it? All right. Then he drops the horse to 32,000 at Fairplex. And look at the buyer number on that race. I'm not saying use the buyer numbers, but this was a dreadful race. If you were going to pick a pace line on this horse, now Sandrock is a contender, absolutely. But if the key to either winning this race or losing this race is where you go with your pace line selection on Sandrock. Choose one. Who wants to use a third race back? Big mistake. All right. For one thing, let the buyer numbers help you in your baseline selection too. Don't use the buyer numbers necessarily, but let them help you in your baseline selection because they're accurate. They're pretty accurate on their ratings. Look at that race, the 85. That is, without a doubt, the best race that horse has ever run. All right, and there's really nothing close. The 80 is not all that bad, but that track must have been lightning fast, and she just glided over the surface because you get beat on 7 lengths in a good field. But look at the 85. One of the mistakes that you can make and people make all the time is to chase a high number. And there's a great example of this at Oak Tree, or was it Oak Tree? And that's a horse called Ojai. Now, Ojai broke its maiden last year in one of the most sensational races you ever want to see. I mean, that horse flew. Got a buyer rating of about 107 in a sprint. I mean, it was just off the scale. And people to this day are chasing that one race. And yet, if you use the other 8 or 9 races on that horse, you can't get it there, no matter which one you use. You cannot. And that's a mistake that you can make the rest of your life on, not the rest of your life, but the rest of the life of that horse. It's by chasing that one number. Now, if you use the race 2 back, you're going to get a very good rating on the horse. I'm not telling you not to do that. I chose to use the Fairplex race, and the reason I did that is that I let the buyer numbers, because first of all, it's a good race. Had the horse been beaten off, I would have probably excused it because the horse wasn't able to handle Fairplex, and that is a legitimate excuse. But if you look at the buyer rating on that race, the 13 points off, that's like a 5-length decline off the previous race. Now it's back in here where it gets softer. So one of those 2 races for you is the right race to use, either the second race back or the last one. Now, just because I chose to make the last race the line doesn't mean that that's absolutely right. It would be right all the time. My point to you on this is that don't use that third race back, because you'll still be chasing that race, because San Rock is going to hit the bottom like a rock.
If you use that second back and third race,
I understand. That's the danger. All right. The point is, if you—I don't need this one because it's the basic issue here. If you use the second race back, even any of these programs are going to push the horse off the scale as you win it, right? And so that's why Jimmy and Howard and everybody up here will tell you don't. You have to handicap these races. Don't put in a slow horse and don't put in the wrong line. Now, if that's the right line for you, that's a nice thing about 2-horse betting. Because it will push the horse, but remember you have an alternative here if you're 2 horse better. If you put in the last line, which is kind of indicative, because if the last line had been 77, 78, I'd probably use the second last line back also. But I let the buyer numbers help me with the baseline, because it's a quick and dirty tool, and I don't have to go look up these numbers myself, because I do keep that kind of a number also. But you're right. If you use the second line back, it becomes one of your 2 horses. Now, now the winner of this round, I'm not going to... just look it up. The winner of this race is 10 Karat Diamond. And as far as my own rankings are concerned, I had 10 Karat Diamond with the contender mix that I put in his race. I had it rated 3rd. Now, I'm not sure, Howard, where did it rate for you on your readouts?
The last race, incidentally, had a better speed rating than 3 back, so there's no reason not to use it as you did.
Where did 10 Karat Diamond rank on your Thoromation screen, Howard? Do you remember?
Well, Tom, since it's your race, you know where he came out first.
Well, he came out 3rd on mine, Howard.
Well, he's number 1 on EXDC, and he's number 1 on the opposite screen if you 2 adjust. So he's number 1. The number 2 horse, he's tied with Baby on the opposite screen with the 2. And Moscow is your place horse, designated place horse.
Moscow.
Or No Secret, I mean.
Okay, No Social.
And Seek. My eyes are not... No Seek is your place horse on the DPH. They can look at page 60 as long as they don't go beyond it. Turn to page 60. You can do that too, Tom. I know you don't like to look at Rita.
There it is, page 60. All right, he rated better for you than he did for me, 10 Karat Diamond.
Well, I didn't want to make you look bad.
Well, it's all right, because this way you can't miss it.
Now, the reason is, Tom, that when you send me your races, you don't tell me how you Mickey Mouse the pace lines around, so I just have to use the 2 adjustment and get your horse. Right. In this case, the 1 adjustment also got it.
The actual rating... with a I use variance, all right? And that's the nice thing about this. This will smooth that over for you. The actual rating for this horse was 3rd best in this race. And but the 2 horses that rated above it were San Rock and No Social Graces. I hope we knocked out No Social Graces as a bet, because the horse was bet down to 7-5 or 8-5. With all of those negatives, you just don't ever do that. San Rock, I'm not sure the price on San Rock, but there was some... The concern about San Rock was the 3 race decline. 10 Karat Diamond was 10-1 in this field. Now, with knocks against both of the first 2 horses, the 3rd horse in the race, whether you make your own line or not, is absolutely bettable. And I would suggest to you not to take any horse you have a lot of negatives on. Don't ever, I get calls, you know, I have a track variant service that I offer in Southern California, and I get calls once in a while from people saying, well, a high-rated horse didn't win this race. Why did this horse beat your high-rated horse? For the very same reason that 10 Karat Diamond wins this race. That the figures that you have, the pace lines that you choose, are representations of the past. And what's happening since then is what's really important. And in the case of 10 Karat Diamond, anytime you have two or three logical contenders, and you have knocks against any or all, you play the one you don't have a knock against. Or 10 Karat Diamond is the right bet. And if you take horses like No Social Graces as your top call, even if it ranks on top, which it did for me, if you take that as your play with all of those knocks against the horse, you're never, ever going to show what the kind of profit you should show.
He came out third on our readouts.
No Social Graces?
Yeah, and he also was a designated place horse. In case you want to win the $62 exact.
But of the three horses that are really logical contenders in this race, two have serious knocks, and you take the price. Always. Always take the price. Now, one last word on this, and I'll turn this over. We've spent a long time in here, partly because I didn't know this was the format, so it took a while.
No, we must have spent a long time at the price you charge. For God's sake, take all the time you need.
Now I forgot my other point. I was going to make my point that I think is important too. Let me vamp this.
If you want us to come up there with you, Tom, we'll come up and bug you.
No. I'd rather have it this way.
Okay, that's why we do it.
Yeah. Anyway, the other point was that you hear a lot these days, and it's valid, about value, you know, betting value, making your own line. Well, I do make my own line, but I make it within reason. And when I say reason, that some of the emphasis on value play would have you bet, in this race it would have you bet maybe your fourth or fifth. I had three really strong contenders for me, the three we just talked about. Some of the value emphasis might say that if you have a fourth horse in there that goes off at 12 or 15 to 1, because it's 12 or 15 to 1, it was your fourth choice, that's your play. Or if you made it 6-1 on your line, it goes at 15, make the play. But always be careful and take that with a grain of salt, because you can get locked into betting horses that are not going to win for you. There were three for me, there may be four for you, maybe two for you, maybe you're better at this than I am. But there were three logical horses to win this race. I would never, ever have bet a fourth or a fifth horse in that race, ever. Because that's the flaw in the value betting, even though they have more good than bad in that. The flaw is that I've seen some of these guys bet a horse that I know has no chance, and they know has no chance, and yet it's 20-1, right? So I guess there's a badge of honor in having a ticket on a 20-1 loser, as opposed to having a win ticket on this 3-1 favorite that wins.
I'm subject to a 300-page book. You got a question over here?
Not mine. But keep, when you make your line, make sure you bet the horses that can win these races, not just because it's a big price.
Wouldn't he be an automatic bet simply because on page 60 he showed up as a winner on the opposite screen, and you said that he was, if they showed up the winner on opposite screen, it's like an 80% win factor?
Well, yeah, it would, except that he didn't do that for me. See, by the time I applied the track variant for each of those days, and this is one of the times that I'd have been better off not doing it.
He does what you do, he makes variants.
And with that in mind, that was the third-rated horse for me. I think I said that earlier. But yes, with this readout, it's an automatic play, especially at 10-1.
It comes out at 1.5-1 on our probability odds line program.
Well, I made it at 4-1 on my line, and horse went at 10. Now that's an automatic play. If you make it 4-1, and you didn't, it's not an exercise on your part. In other words, you haven't got some horse that's just not going to win unless everything goes right. 4-1. Getting 10-1 is an automatic play. That's automatic.
I'll take 10-1, no matter what.
Can I ask you a question on that horse again?
Sure.
Sandrock, second race back, he went against a 22 and a 44-3, and he's right up close.
Right.
And this horse, we just broke his name on the lead. In slower times. Did you bet two horses to win here in this race?
Did not. Because the other two horses that I considered strongly as probable winners were Sandrock and no social graces. And I already told you, I had really negative things against them both at a shorter price. Now, had Sanrock been 6 or 7 to 1 in here, I'd have probably said that the price overweighs the negative thoughts that I have on the horse, and I go ahead and do it. Now, see, the negative, you're right about this. First of all, that 109 is really misleading. That two race back, that was on a lightning track, a lightning fast surface. So it's not as good as it looks, and the 111-1 was on kind of a normal surface, so that's actually as good or better than it looks. So that's a consideration, first of all. And I think that, should the speed rating show that? The track variant? The daily racing form variant for Sanrock was 8, and 10 carat diamond was 14. Now that should be an indication to you that the 109 is not as good as it looks.
Tom.
Yes.
You know, I see what everybody keeps trying to make this horse, give this horse some kind of class rating or something because the race it ran against in that allowance. And they keep trying to make something out of Sanrock. But if you look at Sanrock, he just, the only thing he ever did was broke his maiden. He broke his maiden in a maiden 32,000, just like a 10 carat gold. 10 carat diamond broke his maiden in a 32,000. So you're looking at, when you compare apples to apples, that's what you got here. You got apples and apples. And Sanrock is no big deal. He's an automatic thrower, really. If you look at him, he's declining. He declined at Fairflex Park. That's a terrible race. And he's a horse you can just get rid of. The way this race sets up, actually, there's only two betting horses in here for me. That would be Title and Down and 10 Carat Down. And I would look at the horse in the one post, no social graces. I would be looking at that horse. And if I got big odds on it, but I'd have to get great odds to bet that horse. When you look at this race and you use the matchup and match these horses out, and you look at what you got here, and you've got some dying horses here. So you don't have to ask yourself a whole lot of questions about shouldn't this or what ifs about this race. There are no what ifs in here. You've got three horses in here you should be looking at, and the rest of them you can just about forget about it. They just don't run well. But look, a good example, look at Baby's Got Class. Baby's Got Class is slow, comes from off the pace. Terrence Secret is going on form, has no form. And Janice Dahl has been away real slow. You don't expect that horse to do anything. If you just go through and get rid of some of these horses, just get rid of them. No use to, muddling over them, trying to make excuses for them. They're just bad, and they're not going to do well in this kind of race. Use these lightning race horses, 3-year-olds, recently broke their maidens, and racing well, they're going to be hard to beat.
And finally, the Sanrock, the day that Sanrock broke its maiden.
Okay, let's.
Wait a minute. The day that Sanrock broke its maiden.
Okay.
The horse earned a speed rating of 87 on a 9 racetrack. The day that 10 Carat Diamond broke its maiden, it earned an 83 on a 14. So I mean, some of the arguments there just don't hold water as to this horse being all that slow. The horse ran on a duller racetrack. Don't make excuses for a lot of these horses. Just take them as you get them.
Thank you, Tom. We got a little lesson here. We took 2 hours, 3 hours almost, for 2 hours, for two races. And we've got, each teacher's got 2 or 3 races to do for the rest of the seminar. We're going to have to take a lesson from this race, let it be our example race, and make succinct comments. We don't mind if Groimer takes 2 or 3 hours because of his status, but the rest of you hold it down. Let's take a break now before we bring on Jim the Hat Bradshaw, who tells me that he ain't going to let you pick no pace lines. Just get ready.
He's not going to be as patient as I am.
No, nobody's as patient as Tom. We have a client who brought in Al Borgerding. Stand up, Al. Al came in a little bit late. He was one of the original group that met, as he said, in a house trailer. Actually, it was a luxurious mobile home, but it's more fun to think of it as an old house trailer. Our humble beginnings. And he brought in some of my old hand-typed material dated May 1983. It's kind of nostalgic to see it. But, of course, it's still valid today.
The typewriter, isn't it? I threw the typewriter away. Al, are you there? Anybody who wants to see Al's 10-year-old material, he'd be glad to show it to you. Al was on the original Paceline tapes. And what we're saying today was for picking Pacelines is pretty much the same, because Brohammer was there at that meeting too. And the common sense that he's been teaching you to use these Pacelines is very good. Ironically, those Pacelines he selected did come from the best speed rating of the last three in the comparable buyer number. That's just a coincidence. The next figure will do this a little bit differently, as you might expect. He will also, in going over the race, when he comes to the readouts, which he's probably never seen, because the only people who see his Jimmy's readouts are his wife and myself. I don't need no dang readout. But he will also demonstrate in his readouts, when he's through, the use of the new probability and odds line makers. So turn now to page 15 and welcome Jim the Hat Bradshaw. Want to sit up there where Tom did? And
okay, I still got my manual, Howard.
Good for you. That's the longest you've ever kept a manual.
Howdy. I bet he 3-1.
Howdy. Can't let Howard lose his money. Howdy. First thing, I've got to find the race. Page 15. Guess I didn't know there was printouts on the race. Now, I'll go over this race, and I'm going to, within the next couple of days, I'll be doing more on the matchup. But I'm going to show you, or tell you, or explain to you the process that I go through in finding the winner of a race. Now, I'm not looking for pace lines. I'm not looking for horses to put into the computer. I'm looking for horses that have a chance to win the race. Now, folks, I don't intend to or try to step on anybody's toes. I don't say that not use the computer. I'm saying I will tell you use the computer. I don't say do some of the things that, to eliminate some of the things that you've been doing in the past. I say do all of these things. But also do the matchup and understand the matchup. The matchup, to me, is the reality to horse racing. I do the matchup, I get the contenders, and then I read the pace lines. And my wife put them into the computer. She likes to have a printout. Well, I already know who I want the computer to get. And if the computer doesn't get it, I change the pace line. So in reality, sometimes I do what Tom does. Now, she never knows this, or sometimes she said, are you making up a line on that horse? I may even make up a line. So, you know, to say I don't change the pace line, or I don't use a variant or some of these things, sometimes is really misleading. This particular race. Now, another thing. When I'm doing the matchup, which I do every race that I work, I ignore the track. I don't know what track I'm playing most of the time. Yesterday, I sat and played 5 or 6 tracks. I'm not even sure how many was running, but I played them all simultaneously. And I'm not even sure which track I was winning at, which if I happened to lose, which one I lost. I just knew whether I had the winning ticket or not. And I kind of made me get short-circuited if I lose my TV. I've got to see the TV. This TV, here's my racing form. This TV. And if they switch the TV, I get a short circuit in my computer under my hat. I do ignore the track. You know, I don't go into a tailspin if I lose a race. Because it isn't anything but a horse race. There'll be another one coming along. If you're playing multiple tracks, it's in 5 minutes or so. I lost 4 races out of 5 yesterday at the last deep breath. My horse ran second. But, you know, this didn't change me on what I intend to do. Now, in this particular race, this is a turf race. You know, I told Howard that I had noticed this more and more lately. Than it used to be that, hey, most turf races ran sustained. Now, I say most. Not all. There is times that they run early. But most of them. In the last year, I have seen more wire-to-wire winners in turf races than I ever have in the past. And I think some of these jockeys and some of these trainers have been reading some of the literature, all turf races run sustained. Well, you know, Howard always explains that. Well, they run sustained on the lead. And you know, that just goes in one ear out the other, because I think that all horses, the one that sustains his energy the longest wins the race, whether he's running on the lead or coming from behind. But at Remington Park, at the opening of the meet, I knew this was happening, that they had cheap horses or early horses in the race that are just going out and stealing it. And here these jockeys are sitting back on these tremendous turf horses. Oh, they're going to back up. They're going to back up. They're going to back up. And when they get to the head of the stretch, this horse is, he's not backing up. So I approach races on the turf or any race in the same manner. Hey, is there a horse in here that can steal this race? If not, who's going to come off of the pace? Who's going to come up and get him? And I want to look at these things. I want to think of these things. Generally speaking, when there are more than one sprinter, fast sprinters, now I'm saying generally, now don't say, hey, the hat said this. I'm saying generally, if there's more than one sprinter in the race, these sprinters will hook up and set up for a sustain to win the race. If there is a sprinter in the race where a router needs to go wire to wire, generally speaking, this router cannot go wire to wire. If there is a lone fast sprinter in a race, this sprinter, this is one of my spot plays. And, you know, sometimes you can get tremendous odds. Not necessarily turf, but any race. I just happened to know by reading up at the top that this race was on the turf. But I do the same thing regardless of what it is. And then I may go look at turf lines or find the best horses in the race. First thing that I look for is the fast horse. Why? Fast horses win races. You know, this is just a known fact. Fast horses beat slow horses. You know, if you don't know this, you're in a world of hurt. Now, when do slow horses win? Slow horses win when all the fast horses have exhausted all of the energy that they brought to the track with them that day into that particular race. then slower horses can win. Now, after I explain this at the Oklahoma seminar, we go to the track, and a race just happened to be almost identical to this one that everyone hit.
Except us.
Everyone hit it because it was almost identical to this particular type of race. All right. My opinion is Hot Jaws, horse number two, was the fastest horse in the race. Now that's all I'm looking for. That's the first decision I'm going to make. Now I look and see that Hot Jaws, normally, why do I say normally? Because most of the races that he's had won has been on the lead. There's only one race back at Oaklawn Park in the slot that he came off of the pace. So this is a horse that is a early horse that needs the lead type horse. All right, now I have identified this horse. Harry and Jerry is a second horse, a need the lead style. Harry and Jerry must go to the lead. All right, I've got these two horses. Hang on, Sloopy is a turf horse, the last race. So, you know, I look at him. Queen's Greybeard is a fine old Remington Park dog. But it won a lot of money. And I know that this horse is going off as one of the top favorites in the race. But he's a slow horse. He's a horse that only cashes in if all of the early horses burn up the existing energy. Ice of Diamonds is another sprinter. All right, now that makes three sprinters I have in the race. Very readily, I see that Ice of Diamonds is a slow sprinter. I've got two other sprinters that are faster than Ice of Diamonds. I've got even a router that's faster than Ice of Diamonds. So Ice of Diamonds I eliminate automatically. Across Express, you know, a 47-2, 113, 146-1, getting beat, position 11, you know, here's a horse that is way back. One move horse, so I throw him out. Spunky Rascal is a good old Remington Park horse. Good on the turf, so I leave Spunky Rascal in. Dwayne's Little Hero, I said, uh-oh. This is a horse. Now, way down at the bottom, he has to come off of the pace to win. But it looks to me like they tried to change the style on this horse. That he likes to run on or near the pace. The best that he can do is in the lead or second. Way down at the bottom in 92, he won a race in fourth position. So, I said, hey, this horse isn't going to win this race. Clean to the bone, another need to the lead horse, a router, can't win. Now that's my first preliminary judgment on this race. I'm down to, you know, I know that Dwayne's Little Hero is a possibility of not winning this race. I know that